What up, it's your boy Tony Sumo coming to you live. I'm going to say invite to my guest real quick, wait out. Boom, invite has been sent, and while I wait for my guest to get here, let me get my plugs out of the way. Go to dirtyclinics.com, check out the product there. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, and listen to their podcast, the DCE Pirate Radio Podcast, on iTunes now. Use the code DCE Tony Sumo for 10% off. If you go listen to their podcast, you can get 20% off. I'm not going to tell you that code. You got to go listen to it. Do that now and go to fingertap.com.au. Use the code Tony Sumo for 10% off with those guys too. And if that was all too fast for you, go to the link in my bio. You should be going to the link in my bio anyway. You should be going to my bio because that'll tell you what's coming up on the Instagrams, on the Facebooks. But I can see my guest is here. So let's get down. Boom. Boom. Guest is added. Ryan, how's it going?
I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks for the invite.
No worries at all. Now, I've been following your stuff on the interwebs for a little while now. Originally, I think I saw your stuff on Funker Tactical.
Yep.
And then later on through Aperture. Now, before we get started, a mutual friend of ours, he asked me to bring up, he said, look, Ryan's going to want to talk about me. He's going to want to talk about certain things. And now I don't want to make the whole chat about Eli. All right. We've got to talk about him a little bit, don't we? That's what he wants anyway.
Who?
Perfect. Well done. Perfect. 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 All right. Fantastic. Now, I don't know if you've watched any of the chats before, but what I like to do before I talk about what you're doing now and get some opinions on some certain topics. What I want to do is I want to take it back a little bit, and I want to find out how you got started in martial arts, combat sports, any of that sort of stuff in general. So if you could, take me back to the start.
Yeah. I was kind of late to this whole thing. I guess a lot of kids, it was something that was always interesting to me. I always wanted to be involved in martial arts, but never really had the opportunity until I got older. So I didn't really get involved until I was in college. I had been, I've always been this small. So as a kid, I figured out really fast to learn how to run. I needed to learn how to talk, and I needed to learn how to fight. At different periods in my youth, I did all of those things, some better than others. But I didn't really get involved until I was in college. And when I was in college, I kind of bounced around a little bit, mostly traditional stuff. Did some wrestling, some jiu-jitsu, some Balintawak. I did for about a week some Aikido. And then after I was out of college and had a real job, I kind of continued to dabble a bit, and I immersed myself a little bit in Kempo. Got a couple of different black belts. At some point, I was like, none of this stuff looks like any of the fights I've ever been in my life. So I started looking around, trying to find something that I felt looked like the fights I'd been in. And at this time, I'd been doing more jiu-jitsu than probably anything else. And I found, I ran across an article on Krav Maga, and I'd never heard of it. I didn't know anything about it. Being in the Southeast U.S., there really wasn't, at this time, we're talking 2000, I guess, there really wasn't Krav Maga around here. So I called out to Krav Maga Worldwide in Los Angeles and said, this was really interesting. I could get involved. And, at that time, they were kind of new in terms of expanding. They had been in Los Angeles for, I guess, pretty close to 20 years in different forms. But in terms of branching outside of there, they were pretty new. So they were taking basically anybody into these courses, And the courses were no joke. They were 9-day courses, and it was 9 days of getting your ass handed to you. And, I knew nothing about it other than what this article I had seen in a magazine, and they told me we've got a instructor phase A coming up in Jacksonville, Florida, and I don't know, it was like a month or so. And I said, okay, well, what do I need to do to get involved? And they sent me an application or whatever. But honestly, I mean, at that time, they were pretty much taking whoever. Now, they weren't passing whoever, but in terms of the course, I think when I started that first course, we had like 22 people in it. Day one, we had a guy get a cracked eye orbital. Day two, we had guys that just never showed back up. We never saw them again. About midway through the course, the instructors switched places. They were running a phase A in one room and a phase A B in the other room. So about midway through the course, the instructors traded places. And I ended up, at that point, we had an Israeli instructor. And I remember distinctly him just in the middle of the day walking over to this guy who's like a fifth degree black belt in Taekwondo and owned his own training center and had one of his students in the course as well. And he goes, you're not going to make it. I mean, this is not like pulling the guy off to the side, you know.
No.
Yeah, you're not going to make it. And so this guy packs up this stuff and leaves his student there. And it was just crazy. But at that point, you know, and I don't know what this says about me, but at that point I was like, okay, I'm down with this. I like the way that these guys train, you know. I was all in. I completely immersed myself in that. I traveled a ton to learn as much as I could. Because, again, there was nothing anywhere near where I was. So I had to travel a lot. And I traveled and trained with as many different people as I could. That went into me going to Thailand to train and, you know, a lot of different other things. So that was kind of it. Like I said, it was I'm 44 now. But I probably didn't really get involved until I was about 22, something like that.
It's always interesting to see, I guess, the progression too, because I know that for me personally, the exposure that I've had to Krav Maga, I've always sort of felt would be best suited to people if you had an understanding prior to heading into it. Like a lot of the stuff that I've seen, and it may just have been the people that I worked with, but I always felt like okay, I picked that up, but that's because I know the fundamentals of a 1-2, I understand a double leg, I know this stuff, so I understand, so it's easy for me to be taught the mentality of Krav Maga. Do you find that, you know, like, we probably have less of the reality-based stuff here in Australia, like when I, you know, the reality-based stuff. Do you find that can be an issue with some of those sort of, I guess, I wouldn't say, you know, like not even styles, but I guess those ways of teaching combatives and things like that?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, I've co-authored 3 books on Krav Maga. I no longer call anything that I teach Krav Maga because there's a lot of really bad things identifying Krav Maga out there. So I don't want to be associated with that. And I think anytime you get something that becomes popular in a short amount of time, and a lot of expansion, it becomes very hard to scale that, you know, and maintain the quality and those kinds of things. So, yeah, the concepts and principles and training methodology behind Krav Maga, I think they're in most places they're very solid, very sound, but like you said, if you're coming in with no background, no understanding of anything else, then it's very difficult. You'll see videos of people that they may be going 1,000 miles an hour and they're super aggressive and whatever, but it looks like a hot mess, you know, because they don't have that foundation, the understanding of the fundamentals to be able to apply those principles. Yeah, I get what you're saying for sure. I see it. I've seen it for a long time. And I should say there are some really good Krav Maga places out there. There's some really good instructors out there. But as a whole, I think the system has not evolved well and has not handled its growth well.
I mean, I understand, and that's, you made a good point too. You're saying there's obviously, there's going to be, you know, like world-class guys involved in any sort of aspect of any martial art, whatever it may be. And it's the same thing in that, like, I know boxing works, like I know punching people works, but there's still shitty boxing trainers. And I know, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu works, but there's still shitty Brazilian jiu-jitsu trainers. So, like, I understand that. And I get the feeling that's what you're saying. It's like if you take the core concepts or the mentality, or like if you take those things and you have someone show you the right way, of course it's going to work. But if you just have someone just sort of go, this is what we're doing, it's fast, it's aggressive, let's flail, well, it's probably not going to be real helpful.
Right.
So then, sorry, go on.
You okay?
Yeah, I can hear. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So in sort of touching on that, then you're saying now that you don't associate yourself, I guess, with the word Krav Maga, you don't, you know, like associate with that. You know, like I see a lot of the stuff you're doing, and I enjoy the idea that, like, there's a, it seems like there's a big emphasis on those fundamental principles. You know, like, you know, this is how you win a fight. How hard do you think it is then? Because that's the thing. If you jump on the internet now and you look up any of that sort of reality-based self-defense stuff, that's not the stuff that, like, that's not what people see. So that's not what they come. How hard is it for you to have someone come off the street? Like, how is that a difficult process for you to go, no, no, what we're doing is, we're learning duck unders, or we're learning a cross counter or whatever it may be. Like, how hard is that for you as an instructor?
It's a huge pain in the ass. I teach instructor courses a lot, and one of the first things that I tell people, look, our way of doing things is very difficult. It's going to be difficult for you as an instructor, and it's going to be difficult for your students, because from an instructor standpoint, you're going to have to get up in front of people and say, it depends a lot, if you're going to be honest with them. And from a student standpoint, people just want you to tell them what to do. Just okay, this guy's got me in a rear naked choke. Just tell me what to do. It's not realistic.
Yeah.
So as an instructor, that makes my job difficult because people want to just hear that. When I'm saying, look, you have to learn how to fight. It's not, you know, we're not collecting techniques. There's very little value in us just getting up in front of a room and me showing you a bunch of techniques. It's like if you go to a seminar, right? And let's say you go to a, if you go to a 3-hour Eric Paulson seminar, for example, Eric Paulson is going to show you 7,000 things in 3 hours. I mean, that dude is like, you know, he is freaking amazing, but you better be prepared to drill down on one or two things that he's going to show you, because if you try to absorb all of the information he's going to give you, it's like drinking from a fire hose, you know. And so there's not a ton of value in a long term seminars are one thing, but in a long term program where you're building curriculum, throwing a bunch of techniques at people, people need to learn how to fight, you know. A lot of, I think, reality-based self-defense systems want to make a distinction between fighting and self-defense. I see no distinction. I see no difference other than, you know, I mean, I'm not going out into a parking lot and touching hands with somebody. So, you know, the actual application, you need to be able to fight. Because if, let's say somebody headlocks me from behind and, In you know, most circles, you're going to see, I do A, he does B, I do C, they do D, and that guy's just done. But that's not the way fights happen. I may go to make a kind of defense, and that dude shoots a double leg on me. Well, now what? The ground. We'll just get up. Well, okay. I appreciate that, you know. Or we'll go to, well, you know what? You don't always get that. So, yeah, our way is hard because we're going to get up in front of people and we're going to say, look, It might be this, it might be that, it might be this other thing, it might be none of the things we're going to talk about today, because we're dealing with human beings, and human beings react to different things differently, you know, and, mm-hmm. and yeah, that we're going to make everybody fight the same way makes no sense, because I'm 5'7", 140 pounds. I'm not going to fight the same way as I had a student in my jiu-jitsu class yesterday. He's a police officer. He's 6'3", probably 225. Mm. He's not going to fight the same way. It makes no sense for me to try to make him fight the same way. But if we're teaching from a manual, then that's what you're going to get, because the difference is as soon as we put a manual to something, we're basically saying anything outside of this manual is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're resigned to what's in this manual. Anything outside of that's not right. And I've seen these discussions with, you know, instructors before. Oh, that's not in the manual. I don't give a shit. What are you going to
do? Yep.
Somebody that attacks you in the parking lot when you're with your family? Oh, sorry. That wasn't in the manual. I don't get that mentality. So, we want to teach people how to fight, and mm-hmm. I understand the terminology sometimes people get hung up on, you know, fight seems almost like you're the antagonist, I guess, in some ways, but I don't think you win with defense.
No,
you know, you have to take the fight to the other person. You're already probably behind, you know, they probably are already have a head start on you. So
mm-hmm.
if you're going to continue to have a defensive mentality, you're going to be in big trouble.
The negative connotation with the word fight itself, whether you're the attacker or whether you're defending, you're still in a fight.
That's right.
And so the idea that is a negative, it's like, well, fighting itself might be a negative, but I'm already in the fight. So I need to fight. I need, you know, that's like you're saying, I understand the idea behind like a defensive concept or whatever it may be, but I can only defend for so long because I can't win a straight fight on points. It's not going to, you know, Pernell Whitaker is my favorite boxer of all time, but I, you know, like it's not necessarily going to translate very well, you know, behind a bar or whatever, you know what I mean? That's the sort of concept. And I think too, like you're saying,
Pernell Whitaker devoted his entire existence.
Mm.
You know,
exactly right.
You're going to train a couple hours a week.
Maybe. Exactly right. Exactly right. Now that's the thing. Now I'm by no means am I ever going to say a bad word about Pernell Whitaker. He's my favorite boxer of all time. But like we're saying too, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, okay, I don't have 36 minutes to work or whatever it may be. I've got 20 seconds. I've got 10 seconds. I've got 5 seconds. Whatever it may be. So I think the idea behind that there, like a fight in itself is a negative connotation. Like I'm already in a violent altercation. There's no point there for me being within a defensive mindset of going, no, I'll just neutralize. No. So I understand what you're saying exactly. It makes perfect sense. And that sort of brings me to the idea too, like it's like you're saying too with the, I guess, like the dogmatic approach to a style or whatever it may be. I know that personally, originally, like I came from a striking background, and so my mentality was in my head, if I get into a fight, like you said, I won't go to the ground. You know, in my head, that's what I'm like, I just got to hit him. I land that two, we're good. We're money, I'm done. That's it, that's over. Now I'm not a big guy, but you know, in my head, that's what I'm thinking.
Sure.
And then I rolled with some really good grapplers. And I went, oh, shit. Yeah. Okay. I'm like, ah, oh, like, you know, I wrestled with a former Olympic wrestler. And I went, this dude, whatever this guy wanted to do to me, that'd be it. My judo coach, whatever he wanted to throw me on my head, that was it. You know, like these were and I had to accept that, and I had to go, okay, so while I won't necessarily come up against those guys in the street, I won't necessarily run into a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt in the street or a high-level judoka or whatever it may be, I'm still probably going to end up in a grappling situation. I kind of need to work out how to survive there. Yeah, or how to not survive, but like how to, what do I need to do? Well, yeah, survive. What do I need to do to survive this altercation? Yeah.
Look, I mean, while you may not run into any of those guys, like here in America, lots of people play American football.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people wrestle in high school. And mm-hmm. at least where I am, where I grew up, I mean, it's a, you know, the people around here are tough. I mean, you know, they bite. And so even if you're getting the better of somebody with the hands, this is the way fights go down. They can continue to get beaten up. They can run away. They never do that. I've never seen my life. Or they'll try to close the distance. Even if they stop fighting, they'll try to close the distance and get their hands on you because intuitively people know you can't hit me as hard from here as you can from here.
Yep.
So what we tend to spend a lot of time on is the vertical grappling range, the clinch fight. If we're going to go to the ground, I want it to be on my terms.
Yes.
If it's going to be on my terms, I have to be able to clinch. I have to be able to have a clinch fighting game. Or we're going to go to the floor and I'm going to be on my back. And, you know, maybe I'm going to hit my head on a bumper on the way down. And now it doesn't matter how jiu-jitsu is, you know. So we spend a ton of time on the clinch fighting range, learning to vertical grapple. So a lot of wrestling, a lot of kind of Greco stuff, some judo. We do a lot of the funny thing is, you know, you mentioned that night guy earlier. The funny thing is, I've been doing jiu-jitsu longer than I have anything else, you know, consistently. I've had periods of time where I haven't done it so much because lost an instructor or, you know, whatever. So I have an affinity for the art. I just don't like the people.
Yeah.
Because I just don't like jiu-jitsu folks. I think there's this big, and you use fun in reality-based systems where there's just an over-reliance on the ability to be aggressive, to throw a bunch of strikes, and to that's going to be it. And if they have ground fighting, it's super rudimentary and basic, which is fine, except it's not based on principles. It's based on these few moves that you all you have to do is, you know.
Yeah.
That's just not the way it works, man.
We
could bring in a high school wrestler in here and he's gonna shut that shit down like that. It's just not gonna play out the way I think people want it to play out. And a lot of times I think it's, you know, it's we wanna give people this false sense. I don't know that we want to give them a false sense of reality, but we want people to feel good about their abilities to do things.
Yes. And,
you know, that's not my job. My job is not to make my students feel better about themselves. My job is to make my students safer. You know, it long term they'll feel better about themselves, but it's a long, hard road. I'm not going to feed them with a bunch of platitudes and bullshit to get people thinking, oh well, all I have to do is now, you know,
it's
real and. I take what we do seriously, and I would feel horribly if I gave somebody a false sense of what violence is like and they ended up in a bad situation because they didn't understand what violence is. I think constantly telling people you're going to have to fight, constantly telling people that the variables are unlimited, that there is no all you have to do is, I think makes people realize, you know, I want to do everything I can to avoid a violent situation. Because if I get up in front of a group and I, you know, I build people up to this point where they feel like, oh, I've got this. I don't, you know, and now maybe they don't avoid when they should have, you know, they have this false sense of what their abilities are. I can't buy into
it. Speaking of Eli, he shared a meme the other day, and it was, you know, like a Street Fighter guy says, you know, that jiu-jitsu shit would never work on me, you know, because I'd eye gouge, bite, and punch you in the balls, and then the jiu-jitsu guy replies, I'd do that too, except I'd do the jiu-jitsu stuff as well. Right. And there's definitely something to it. Like there's, you know, like you take jiu-jitsu and you replace it with another word or whatever, but it's like, yeah, that's, because I'm still going to do that stuff. Like when we clinch, if you try and get double unders on me against the side of a car, I'm still going to bite you on the face. Like that's, I'm still in a fight. I'm just, I know what I'm going to do after I've done that. That's that, you know, the difference.
I'm going to do it from a better position.
Yes.
You're probably not going to be able to do it because I understand how to get top control. I understand all those things. And so while you're fucking around trying to find my eyes or whatever, my arm around your neck, and maybe to jab my fingers in your eyes because you piss me off now.
Yep. Yeah.
Cool. You know, I hear that argument a ton, and I just, I think in some circles, because people maybe have some insecurity about their abilities in a clinch or their abilities on the ground, then saying, well, I just got your eyes out, you know, it's an easy kind of out.
Yeah. Yes.
Whereas if anybody really put some pressure to any of that, you know, you take a decent blue belt in jiu-jitsu and we get on the ground and you know nothing about ground fighting other than I'll gouge your eyes out. And I tell the jiu-jitsu blue belt, okay, if this guy starts to touch your eyes, you know, you can rip his nose off. You can bite him in the face. We're going to do it from a better position. You know?
Yes.
So again, I get why it happens, but it's not realistic. It's easier to sell for sure.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
It's like we talked about earlier with the basics and the fundamentals. Well, hell, it's a lot easier to sell a seminar on, let's do, you know, gun defense in the bedroom. Somebody's broken into your house because that shit's fun.
Yeah.
It's probably never going to happen. So I don't really have to put myself in that place. Where if I tried to do a seminar on, Greco for self defense, people are going to be hard and boring and, you know, let's put pillowcase head and defend guns to the back while my arms are zip tied together. You know, it's fantasy LARPing kind of stuff that is never gonna happen, so I can have fun training it. Which as long as, like, I don't have a problem with people training that stuff. As long as whoever's teaching it is being honest and realistic about what it is that we're doing, you know.
I'm the same. Like if I'm ever doing, say, like straight boxing work, if I'm teaching straight boxing work to even like MMA guys, and just, you know, there'll be certain things that I'll do when I'm boxing. I saw that you actually put up some shell and some Philly shoulder roll and all that sort. Like I saw that you did some stuff and I'm like, I do a lot of that sort of stuff when I'm boxing, but I don't do it when I will do a lot less of the fancy boxing shit when I'm getting kicked at or when I'm getting grappled. Like, so I'm like, hey, this right now, what we're doing is we're playing boxing and when we're playing within this rule set, we can do some funky shit. But if I'm taking it into the context of I'm now in an altercation or even like MMA, you know, gloves are smaller, you know, I've got other things to worry about, you know, like that's the sort of stuff I'm like, okay, I can't do as much of this shit. I can't just stay down and bob and weave like endlessly. I can't just stay broken at the hips for 2.5 minutes, you know, like it doesn't work. And I think as long as that sort of stuff is, I guess, like vocalized to the student or to the, you know, the fighter or whatever it may be, it's like, hey, no, this works in this arena and that's good for this use, but let's not think it works everywhere. I think then that's okay. But I think that's what you're saying too. It's like, if you're saying we can do this and this is fun, you know, like we can do this situational role play shit and it's fun and it's good and it might get you some reaction training. There might be some carryover. But let's be honest, you're probably going to be better off doing hard pummeling for 2 hours. You know, like that's, I think, as long as that sort of comes up, then it's okay,
Right. You know, I get it. I mean, that stuff, like I said, it sells seminars, it sells DVDs. We would make a lot more money doing that kind of stuff. I would rather be honest about, you know, and it's not that we don't do seminars like that from time to time, but nothing extreme. It's always, you know, here's basic handgun defense, and it's all all based on all the other shit that we do. You know,
you're
you're gonna end up in this 2-on-1, and now you better be able to fucking fight. I think what drives me nuts is, you know, you'll have instructors working on knife defense or gun defense or hammer defense or whatever it is, and they're teaching this stuff to people that they can't fight one human being unarmed, and now all of a sudden they got a knife.
Yeah.
Oh, how the fuck does that work? You can't fight that guy with just your hands, and now in his hands, and now he's got a knife, and all of a sudden, what?
Yeah. You know,
it just doesn't make sense to me. They don't have the foundation to that's built to be able to do those things properly. And I mean, there's no magic to any of it.
No.
Like, working against a knife is terrible. It's my least on the planet to do. It's scary as hell, you know? Most of it is not very good. You know, it's like, I said this in a seminar one time. I'm like, I don't even like iron knife defense work. I just like it better than everybody else. I'll readily tell anybody, if you, the first chance you get to haul ass and get out of there, you should. Go wrong. To have a student that's been training for 6 months and say, okay, well, now we're going to, I know you can't, you've never sparred, you've never clinch wrestled, you've never gone live and rolling or anything like that. Now we're going to attack you with a knife.
Yeah.
I don't see how that works, you know?
Yeah.
It's reality, because the attacker is going to give you the attack that they're prescribed to give.
Yeah.
You know? Be one and done, and they're gonna do their thing, and they're gonna feel good about it. I want people to walk away from a knife class with me thinking, holy shit, I never want to have to deal with somebody with a knife ever in my life. Not thinking, well, damn, that all I have to do is, you know.
Also, just when you did that, and I'm like, I've done that workshop too. Like, I've done, I'm like, ah, shit. I've seen that exact drill. I'm like, that drill. Well, we're just doing that. Okay, cool. That's one thing as well. You know, like the drill aspect. And one thing that I see that sort of, you know, it's like you're saying, you just run these drills. But what you want is these people at the end of the classes or at the end of the sessions to think, fuck, I don't want to, I can't, or like, I never want to be involved in that situation, whether it be knife or just like sort of, you know, obviously any physical altercation, but especially stuff like knife. But one of the things I think that gets neglected the most, and it's one of the things I think that you are probably, you know, like I see from the work that you do, you push as well, is the idea of physical fitness, you know, in a self-defense situation. Because like you're saying, most people, like think about most people we know that fight, like fight, competing in combat sports, and they get tired fighting.
Yep.
Now you take, you know, Joe Blow, like you're saying, maybe trains 2 hours a week or whatever it is, and he thinks he's going to be in this physical altercation with this massive adrenaline dump against an opponent who may or may not is, you know, it's probably bigger, because, you know, that tends to be what's going to happen, and what they're supposed to just physically get through that altercation, you know, like from a physical output perspective, not just from a technique perspective. And I think that's probably even more crazy. The fact that, you know, like people are just like, I'm just going to hit this one technique, we're good. You're like, it's not going to happen. That's not how it works. Like some, you know, like if you, sometimes you fight this, you fight an attacker or like whatever for 5 minutes until, like, you know, that's what you're going to fight for your life for 5 minutes. Can you go all out for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
And promise you the majority of the population can't. That's like, and that, so that's scarier, I think.
Yeah, look, there's a reason. Like, it's not just catchy that we chose the name Fit to Fight. You know, I mean, by design, it's not fit to the, it's not, you know, couch to fight. It's fit to fight. I mean,
yeah.
And the truth is, even if we take away all the fight stuff and talking about self-defense and violence and all those things, the reality is most people are succumb to high blood pressure, diabetes, and, you know, something else. And so if the goal is just to enhance my life and to live longer and health and those kinds of things, then just being in good shape makes sense, you know. The odds of me having to deal with somebody trying to stab me versus the odds of me having to deal with high cholesterol, you know, I mean, it's not cool and fun and sexy to talk about, but it's the reality. And if we're talking about violence, nobody has ever been in a fight and thought, man, I was just too strong in that fight. I wish I hadn't been quite strong. Or, you know, man, I was just too good. I wish I wasn't that well. You know, Tim Kennedy, you know, he talks about trained to be the hardest person to kill, or, you know, or whatever it is. It just makes a ton of sense to me. I mean, people defend themselves all the time that haven't trained or they're not in good shape or whatever, but the reality is you cannot deny that being stronger, being more well-conditioned is just – look at a fight camp that are training for fight camps. They spend an infinite amount of time on the conditioning aspect of it, unless you're Roy Nelson, but everybody else.
Yep.
You know, they're going to – look at you mentioned boxing. Look at the amount of time that boxers put into conditioning work, you know, and just hardening their bodies. And so, yeah, it's a big part of what we do because, A, I think it just enhances your life, you know. If the goal is to live longer, and not just live longer, but quality of life. But then, B, if I'm going to fight, I don't know if that fight's going to be 10 seconds or if that fight's going to be 6 minutes.
Yeah. It's not
where I know I've got, okay, we're going to do 8 3-minute rounds. You know, maybe we don't make it to 8 3-minute rounds, but I know it's not going to be more than that. And I know that every round is going to be 3 minutes.
Yeah.
In situation, no clue. I've got a buddy that's he's a SWAT cop here in Charlotte. And he was a Marine, played football, well, he's a door kicker, an ass kicker, strong, athletic dude. And I remember him telling me about a fight he was in one time. He's been training with me 10 or 11 years where he backup wasn't coming. He was and big, strong dude. He was high. And he ended up, I think, fighting that dude for 5 or 6 minutes. And I mean, when I say fight, you know, they're banging up against cars, rolling up underneath cars, you know, they're all over the place. And now, not only is he having to fight like that, but he's got to retain his gun, he's got to retain his taser, he's got to retain his OC spray, his baton, all this stuff, while doing it, wearing all that stuff, and wearing a bulletproof vest, and, you know, that's a different animal altogether. And all you have to do is, you're going to be in a world of damn trouble.
So, I
think physical fitness is huge, or should be huge in self-defense industry, martial art. It drives me nuts to go to somebody's seminar. I travel a good bit. And so I usually, if I can, I'll try to watch somebody run a class or whatever. And to see a guy that, you know, is standing in front of a room running his students through all these crazy things. And I'm looking at him like, well, you could do the first 4 years. Asking them to do. It's one thing if you got some kind of physical ailment that prevents you from doing this.
Yeah.
But if you're going to stand, I just feel like if you're going to stand up in front of a group of people and you're going to ask them to do all this crazy shit and all these, you know, exercises and blah, blah, whatever, you should be able to do it, you know, and you should look the part. Again, you don't have to look like you're getting ready for a UFC fight or something like that, but you know, I think you should look the part. I mean,
yeah.
I would put a doctor that, you know, was missing teeth and his hair was all over. You know, I go to a doctor, it looks like he just got done doing meth. You know,
yeah.
So I'm not going to go to a fight trainer or self-defense trainer or whatever that doesn't look like he's in or she's in shape, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. There, we could talk about custom auto, for example.
Yep.
You know, that guy's had a world of knowledge when it came to boxing. So I get it. You don't have to be a rock star.
Yeah.
Whatever. And age matters and physical ailments matter, all that kind of stuff. But if those things are not an issue, you should look the part, man. You should be to get after it.
Yeah. No, agreed. Agreed. In fact, I think we've agreed on everything, which is very enjoyable. It's always nice to have some points reaffirmed. I mean, obviously, there's things that are going to be prevalent in the US that aren't going to be prevalent over here from a self-defense situation or a physical altercation or anything like that. But I think what people should be able to take away from it are those fundamentals. The fact that I need to pressure test, the fact that you will find out really quickly what works and what doesn't if you were applying it. And especially, you know, looking at that physical fitness side of it too. I think that's one thing. You know, what is it? It's fatigue makes cowards of us all, that sort of thing. Well, if you're fighting for your life, I want to be able to go for 5 minutes, you know, and that's something I think people need to put into context. And I'm glad that there are people like yourself out there doing it. We need more people like yourself out there doing it as opposed to the people that we know that are out there that are doing it that shouldn't be, because there are plenty of them too. There are plenty of them too.
Well, and, you know, you the line about fatigue makes cowards of us all, you know, a big part of that. I think is pushing yourself to those hard physical limits develops an amount of emotional toughness too.
Mm-hmm.
Pushing your people talk about mental toughness. I think that's a misnomer. It's not like if you got a basketball player that's stepping into the free throw line in front of 25,000 people to hit the game winning shot. Nobody's wondering what that dude's SAT scores were. You
know,
not a mental thing. It's emotional. It's I'm tired. I'm hurt. I'm scared.
Mm.
Manage those things under all that stress and duress and whatnot. And I think pushing yourself to hard physical limits allows you to kind of test that emotional metal. You know, because you know one of our taglines is everyone's fighting something, and That just applies to life in general. I don't care what it is. There's some kind of conflict in somebody's life pretty much daily. It may be super insignificant, but over time, those things add up, you know.
Yep.
And your ability to deal with the emotional side of that kind of stuff is important. And in a fight, it's important because I'm going to be scared. I'm going to be fatigued. I'm going to be maybe hurt, and you gotta kind of put all that shit aside and keep fighting. And having the physical conditioning, I think, goes a long way to developing that emotional toughness that kind of is the X factor a lot of times in a fight.
You know? For sure. For sure. All right. Fantastic chat. This has been very enjoyable.
Cool.
I will want to do it again. I'm going to be messaging you and asking you to do it again because I'm sure I've got a lot of other questions I want to ask.
Awesome.
But before we go, any plugs, mentions, shout-outs, anything you want people to check out, anything like that, let them know, and I'll tag it in as well when we post it up online.
Okay, yeah. We launched a new page this week on Facebook called Fit to Fight Republic. If people could check that out, we would like that. I'm going to be dropping a ton of content on there from a lot of different folks. Myself, Amber, Andre is another guy here. We've got some jiu-jitsu guy named Eli on there.
Yep.
The guy's, he's always looking to, you know, I'll say his name. going to be, you know, hurt.
Yep.
You know, he's going to be offended. And I'm going to have to send him a box of bourbon or something.
Going to have to. Going to have to.
Oh, yeah, Fit the Fight Republic. Check out that page. We're going to be dropping a lot of content. Just launched it this week, but we've already shot, I don't know, 60 videos, something like that, and we have a couple more shoots in the work. So that'll be something that I think people will enjoy checking out. It's going to be all over the place. There's jiu-jitsu, there's Thai boxing, there's boxing, catch wrestling, straight up just self-defense, you know, physical fitness stuff. Every Wednesday we're dropping some workouts. So I think it'll be a page that if they enjoy the other stuff that we've been doing, they'll really dig it. So
awesome. Fantastic. Well, I look forward to it as well. I have been checking out because I did see that I did see a video with Eli, so I did see that posted up.
Yeah, we had to drop him first so he wouldn't very sensitive, that guy.
You gotta get him in there early, make him feel nice. Yeah, that's the main thing.
He's a jiu-jitsu guy, so they get their feelings hurt pretty easy. Gotta know how to.
Yeah.
So.
Of course. It's smart moves. You
know, he'll find something else to complain about, but.
we'll try and keep him happy. All right, Ryan, thank you very much. I really do appreciate you taking the time. All right. Cheers, bye. Bye.